Hey, can I get this brain worm out of my head now, finally?
Boy, is this brain worm.
Terrifier 2 is fucking terrible.
Yeah, well, you know, could have told you that.
I would like to say we warned you, but nobody wanted to say anything. We were just like, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's going
to... I mean, gonna this time it's like the first one I have to test. I can't stand it. This one, I'm like, there was something here, and you fucked it up royally.
It's pretty much a given. I mean, just... I don't know. It just... It,
2 hours! It's a 2 hour slasher movie. Do you have any idea how slow it moved?
I really don't care about the design of their slasher, just because it is boring to me. Like,
The design's not great, but, like, the performance is good, and that guy is really leaning into everything he's doing, but it's just a fucking Halloween clown costume.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's hard for me to, like, come down on the design, but I agree with you, Eric. But I'm also, like, a big fan of the Juan movies, but, like, is Juan grandfathered in for having that, like, weird obtuse design because he kind of, like, started doing that? Is that where we are? Because everybody else that does it, I'm like, this is so boring. Could you have come up with something more interesting? You know, it's that thing of the real Annabelle doll is creepier than the fake Annabelle doll from the Annabelle movies.
Oh, yeah, it's terrifying.
I guess it's just a Raggedy Ann doll.
Yeah, I mean, but that is inherently more.
There's something about it. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't want that thing in my fucking house.
See, that's, I guess, just because I grew up when Raggedy Ann and Andy were still, like, not quite out of, like, the zeitgeist, but getting there. So there was still, like, this weird remnant of that left over when I was a little kid. So, yeah, I just grew up like, oh, yeah, that's just Raggedy Ann and Andy. I don't give a shit about them.
Sure.
Fair enough. Shit about anything as I guzzle down bourbon and smoke another cigar.
I'm glad you brought up something being boring, because that thing that the movie sold itself on, which was this ridiculous gore, when it just goes on and on for about like 7 minutes, you're like, this is just kind of washing over me now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean anything. Yeah. It's gone on for so fucking long.
Yeah,
and like the first big gore set piece like is stretched well above and beyond the limits of believability in terms of what someone can actually survive. It just keeps going. I'm like, no, she's dead. Like, there's no way.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you're rarely going to hear me coming down on defending critics of slasher movies in the 80s. It's not going to happen a lot, but I will give them this. They watched a lot of those bad slasher movies in a row. And they saw horrendous violence back to back to back. And when you watch it like that, when you watch a lot of it, when you watched your fourth, you know, cheerleader massacre movie in a week, it's going to get tiring. You're going to be like, none of this is shocking to me anymore. So I'm just paying attention to the plots of your movies, and the plots of your movies are awful.
Well, I think with this hypothetical reviewer, like, it can go one of two ways. It can just go where you're completely numb to it, or it can go where you like dig into it and you're like, well, the setting up of that kill was just blah, and like these are the people who start to then go into the like the critique of the special effects involved with it, and then they go super deep and just become obsessed in that way.
But the special effects were actually fantastic in this movie.
Well, you know, I don't know how they afforded that with all the money they had to spend on filming a fucking 2 hour slasher. See, that's my biggest point. It's like that it didn't earn that 2 hours. Like,
it
I would be fine.
Doesn't, because it's filled with like a big misdirect and like a plot thread that I thought was very obviously going one way, and then they just kind of go nowhere with it. And there's all this like weird shit going on where it's like there might be a supernatural element, but they don't bother to explain anything. They just give you weird shit and expect you to just accept it at face value or trust them or something. I'm like, you need to come back and explain all this like weird shit you're doing that you didn't do last time.
I can't believe the bad clown movie does a bad job of explaining the bad clown movie. If James Wan would have come out with like a 2.5 hour like Conjuring after the second one, I would have been like, yeah, all right, I'm game. Let's do it. Not what we got, but yes, Yeah.
Well, and it, again, in his defense, he would make that worth it. He would fill that 2.5 hours with story and character, yeah. which is why his movies work, because he focuses a lot on character and making you like these people.
What's ignore Malignant then, I guess?
Malignant, he was doing a thing. I think even he would say that. He was going for something a bit other. I mean,
going for giallo.
Yeah, he says that. he's definitely going for like big soap opera type, you know, big emotions, you know, all visuals telling the story, that type of thing. But I'm just saying in general, he goes for character development and really, you know, building characters out in ways that make them compelling. Even as far back as like, what is it? Dead Silence? Dead Silence. Even as far back as that one. Like, he spends quite a bit of time setting up those characters in that movie and like making them seem like real human beings. The cop falls into my least favorite thing of not believing something until a literal puppet is biting at his leg, but that's beside the point.
If Donnie Wahlberg's in a James Wan movie, he has to just blunder his way into a horrible death. That's how he
yeah, those movies. Exactly. That's how it works. Well, that's him in horror movies in general. He has to die horribly. Just the worst death possible. Well,
but what about The Happening? He doesn't die in that.
Oh, he doesn't die? Donnie?
Is Donnie?
I'm thinking Mark. Sorry, all not right. Donnie. Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have been crazy for them both to be in it, though. That's the other thing.
That's a little bit too much Wahlberg for one movie, I think.
True.
At least with M. Night directing it, I think he would realize like one Wahlberg is enough Wahlberg for any audience to deal with.
Well, two Wahlbergs is really like having 10 Wahlbergs. They multiply.
I imagine it's actually more like 20 when you have Donnie, because he's also like anti-vax and all that bullshit, and he's married to Jenny McCarthy. So a good movie that at least in my opinion that watched recently that we were starting to talk about before we recorded, but Smile. Like, have you seen that yet, Arlen?
No, I've been doing No Stab November, so yeah.
Okay. What? Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't
know what Lou named it last week, so I'm keeping the name.
I barely remember what I did an hour ago. So Connor, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's kind of like very simple. It's just It Follows, a little bit of The Ring. Like, it's not really not doing anything new, but it's fucking weird and interesting. And then I think it's just interesting enough to stick around for like this absolutely bonkers final reveal of like what the thing is. And it's just like, wow, if you gave me 10 guesses, I wouldn't have guessed that fucking monstrosity.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked.
It's like something out of Akira.
It's Arlen, do you care if we spoil this a little bit? I mean, it's the big thing in Smile, I guess, but
I mean, I don't care. I don't.
Okay. Yeah, it's the very end, like the woman who's been trying to run from this Smile demon thing ends up coming face to face with it. And what is it exactly again, Connor? I can't remember. Like, their face off.
Yeah, like this, it's taking the shape of her mom, and then it rips the mom's face off to reveal that it's just this like hunched over meatball, essentially, with a couple arms and legs. And then they show its face, and it has a mouth inside of 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 a mouth, and they're all just big open smiles.
Yeah. And then it opens its mouth even wider and shoves her inside.
Yeah, no, he crawls into her mouth, and then she...
Oh, into her mouth. That's it. I couldn't remember. Yeah. It was definitely a what the fuck is happening moment in that movie. How the fuck
did we get here?
Yeah. Yeah, the music in that was great, though. The soundtrack made that movie.
Yeah, I said it sounded like Ravenous, when it was just like no two songs sounded the fucking same.
No.
Also, no, that scene where Calpen? Yeah, Calpen rips his own face off was hilarious.
Yes, that was great. It was a surprise Cal Penn appearance, so that's another reason to watch it, because he's
suddenly he's looking really good. Old.
Yeah, he looks like what you would expect him to look like at this point.
I mean, yeah, that's what happens when you are sitting right next to the president for 8 years, okay. And
you absorb a lot of aging.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, the president absorbs most of it, as we know. Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing with Trump and now with Biden. Like, we're not going to see that at all because they're already old as fuck.
Yep.
Like, well, it was only with like Obama and I feel like Clinton and even the Bushes that we saw like, oh God, they're so old at the end of their terms.
I don't disagree, but I will just point out a couple things. I 100% agree that Biden, you can't stretch that balloon any more than you already have. You can. There's nothing more you can do. With Trump, he has always been very image focused and like maintaining an image. So he's been putting on pounds of makeup and doing all kinds of surgeries, girdles, all that kinds of stuff. Since the 90s, and he's just constantly been working on it. And there's a lot of people who have hypothesized that the orange skin is a result of him getting tricked by colloidal silver schemes. So the idea that he could have aged and we just wouldn't have noticed it because of all the stuff that he's already doing to cover up what he is.
You saying the colloidal silver, like, is he a submission in Red Dead Redemption 2? Like, what? How the fuck does one get fooled by colloidal silver in this day and age?
He watches Fox News, Eric, remember?
Yeah, I just... What the fuck? Like, did he buy it off the back of, like, a covered wagon that was headed out west where there's gold? Like, what?
No, they were selling Fox Miracle News Tonics, too.
This is what John Oliver's bit about the catheter cowboy came from. It's the same idea. It's the same concept of these ads where it's like, you know, a fixed reverse loan, call 1-800 blah blah now. It's that kind of thing. It's the, you know, infomercials and things like that that appeared on Fox News. And I 100% can see him late at night watching cable television, watching reruns of Fox News or whatever they're airing at 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. And he sees the colloidal silver ad, and he's like, well, I have to do this. This looks amazing, you know, or whatever.
See, I feel like the colloidal silver wouldn't have come about on a, like, infomercial until after Q popped on the scene. Like, I don't know. That feels like a bridge too far. Like, I can see a million other things like that, crackhead's pillows, but other than that, right. Like, I don't see it going that far until people are like, well, maybe I will eat the horse paste.
Well, see, I was watching a lot of this kind of stuff around the time where this would have happened, and I saw some pretty suspect stuff on there.
And sleeper agent is what you are. Okay, got it.
Well, yes, that is what I am. But also, like, you know, I saw the we'll buy your gold ads and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely saw some stuff where it was, like, questionable medical stuff. It was, like, it was mostly the stuff I remember is around diabetes. It's like, call in for your free diabetes meter that will come to your house and install for you. So I could see the colloidal silver ad running, and there's plenty of other stuff like that. Recall ads and that kind of thing. I could see, but the colloidal silver, that's not a new thing. That's one of those, every 10 years or so, somebody comes back up with ads for colloidal silver. And it's the same colloidal silver. It's the same people selling it. They've just changed the name a little bit. And they're just selling the same thing. But they change what the thing is that the colloidal silver will fix. So it's heart problems, skin problems, cancer, whatever you can imagine. So when COVID comes around, colloidal silver pops back up, and Trump happens to be one of the investors in colloidal silver that time because God. He probably bought a bunch of it, and now he's just selling his colloidal silver because he stopped after it turned his skin blue.
So basically what you're telling me is that humanity doesn't deserve to exist anymore. Got it. Mm-hmm, good. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I knew that already.
Yeah.
I did too, but it's always like when you hear something new that you can add to the list of reasons why, it's just like, ah, fuck. Like, we are such a fucked up species. Great. Good. Good job. Yeah. Or maybe it's just specifically America, because I don't, and England, because you don't hear about this happening in Brussels.
I mean, yeah, but I like to imagine that in 20 AD, on the streets of Rome, there were people out there at night selling colloidal silver. Or I guess it would have been just lead. They're just selling lead to each other. They're just like, here, buy my lead spoons, guaranteed to make your urine not burn anymore.
Yeah,
don't you want lead spoons?
I promise it won't kill you. Yeah, I don't know. After having to work the day after Thanksgiving in the hospital, I have no faith in humanity.
I also watched Hill House.
Oh yeah, finally get around to that. Yeah,
yeah man.
Yeah. Yeah, you liked it.
Fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say now, if you haven't
first like episode two, I'm like, what's missing from this? Like, why am I not as intrigued?
Yeah, I was gonna say I bounced off of Bly Manor pretty hard. I tried, but I got through like I think three
as soon
or four
as I found
episodes.
Out it was an adaptation of Turn of the Screw. I was like, well, whatever, because. First one kind of kept me going because, like, I didn't know what the fuck was happening, and now it's like I'm gonna recognize the beats you're going for, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and that plus they don't go for ambiguity with their adaptation. They're just like, no, this is what's happening. And most Turning of the Screw adaptations try for ambiguity. Old Mikey didn't do that. I would suggest going back and giving it another shot purely because some of the performances are really good. But if you bounced off of it, that's totally fair. I don't think that Bly Manor is like top tier by any means.
Yeah, and I mean it's not like I haven't watched pretty much everything else Flanagan has done at this point. It's just that I don't know. It was just that one thing. Like I feel like if Bly Manor would have come out closer to the release of Hill House, which I understand they couldn't have known that Hill House was going to do as well as it did. If it would have come out closer, I think I probably would have been more into it. I don't know.
Fair enough. I could see that. Yeah, I think for me it was just the anticipation was enough to get me through a few slow episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the thing that Netflix wants you to do, which is I didn't click exit. After the first episode, I was just like, yeah, I'll just let this run. I'm just gonna let this run, let it go in the background, zone out a little bit.
Drink this bottle of cooking sherry.
Mm-hmm. But that was later in the day.
Back to Hill House though, because I mean, Connor's the one who brought this up. So yeah, I mean, what was, I guess, your favorite episode, if you can remember exactly? Because I know mine.
Like, that's what they finally decided. Like, we're going to drop every bomb we have saved up on you all at once.
Okay.
Yeah. And that revealed the Red Room being everything. I was like, you fucking got me. Like,
yep. Mm-hmm. It's such a good reveal. And it's set up. It's entirely set up. All the pieces are there. You can find them if you want, but if you can't, cool. They did the job. They tricked you.
I also think I missed every single hidden ghost. I don't think I saw any of them.
I'll admit I didn't start looking for them until after I'd seen a review of like the first two episodes, and they're like, "Hey, did you notice these guys?" I'm like, "What?" And then my wife and I started looking actively while we were watching it, and it was that was always like, "Oh shit, oh shit." Like, I think that was the first time I've ever seen somebody do that well, too.
The last time I saw something like it was in Blair Witch 2. So I'm glad the bar is being set super high now.
I said that well. I said
just saying the period.
yeah, understandable. I think for me, like, my favorite episode was the one that was just the single camera shot, with the exception of a few little tricks.
the funeral home.
The mortuary episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that blew me the fuck away when I saw that. I was shocked at how well they did that. Because the only point I could see a little bit of trickery going on was like when they had a, I don't remember characters' names at this point, but they had somebody step out from behind somebody else. And like at that point, I was like, okay, I think that could have been an easy transition point, but I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, just fucking magical, goddamn magic fuckery going on there. It was great.
It was an impressive episode watching it. And then hearing the behind the scenes stories after the fact and hearing Mike talk about it over the years, it's every time he brings it up and he talks about details, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
they my memory is that they barely did any cuts. I don't think that they really cheated it at all.
Like, there's one shot where like the perspective almost changes, but like I think it's a quick camera like movement that is probably a cut, but like it shifts from, I think, the older version of the dad to the younger version of the dad in Hill House from the funeral home. I don't know those lines.
Yeah, I need to watch that episode again. It's been a while. I need to be impressed again because I have nothing in my life.
I mean, I think that would be worth your time because there's, I mean, well, that's the other thing, you know, on the Hidden Ghost front, that what made that show so gripping to me was that, like, it was all about this subtlety underneath. It was, and it was all these, like, little tiny things that added up to being incredibly unsettling. And then occasionally he would do a jump scare, and the jump scares he would do, again, they would just be so well handled.
One of them got me real fucking good. I think it was in the car, and someone like
the car is well done. I don't like
the fuck out of me.
The car is like, fuck you, Mike.
I will say that the first reveal of Nell as a ghost was ruined for me by every internet publication on Earth. That image
Months.
So as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's the thing.
Fair enough.
Well, I mean, at this point, they're actively spoiling Black Panther in the trailer. Jesus. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and they're releasing posters and stuff. And,
That's just
the nature of it all.
But yeah, I have to admit, like, I think Hill House was the first Flanagan thing I ever saw. I don't think I'd seen Oculus, and that was before I realized who Mike Flanagan was. I just saw that, and I was like, oh, I really enjoyed that. And then
Hill House hit at the moment where I was learning who he was. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like a real synchronicity moment of, like, I'm starting to connect the name to the other movies, and I'm not just rewatching Hush over and over again. I'm like, oh, wait, this guy did this one.
Just watching the hand scene over and over again.
I mean, yeah. I mean, well, Hush. This. Hush is one of those, like, weird movies that I've watched way too many times. It's just, like, it's a weird amount of time.
That's an odd thing to admit to everyone who might
be listening. What are his other movies?
I've watched Hush a lot. I'm trying to
remember, like, what else he's made.
Dr. Sleep, Hush, Oculus
2.
Oh, he did Oculus 2? Oh, I didn't know he'd actually directed that.
Not Oculus 2, Ouija 2.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the good one.
And, and didn't he do the Annabelle Origin of Evil?
No, but he...
Or was that somebody else?
That was, not Black Adam. Shazam. Shazam, dude.
Okay, okay.
And Lights Out.
Okay.
That guy.
I couldn't remember. But yeah, the second Ouija movie is really good. Like, I was shocked how much I enjoyed that.
It's very good, and it ends like real hard. It ends on like a real like fuck you note. And I guess it sets up a thing from the first Ouija, but I've never seen the first Ouija.
I'm not going to.
Not never going to.
You can't make me do it. And then Mike had this Netflix run after Hush. He had Gerald's Game, and he had Before I Wake.
Oh, he did do Gerald's Game. Okay. Wait, what was the other one you mentioned?
Before I Wake, which is Thomas Jane and...
I didn't see
Rachel...
that.
Oh, you gotta watch Before I Wake, Eric. It's
okay.
it's pretty solid. It's Jacob Tremblay, Thomas Jane, Kate Bosworth, Annabeth Gish. It's a lot of his regulars are in it. And it's got like a kind of a weird premise. Jacob Tremblay is a little boy who's adopted by this couple that lost their son a couple years ago.
Oh, I do. I added this to my my Netflix queue. Yes. Yeah, it's on there.
And his dreams come to life.
I like that episode of The Twilight Zone.
Okay. Yeah, and it's got an interesting behind the scenes story. They made it for a studio that doesn't exist anymore. Years ago. Right after Oculus, they made it.
Plot twist, it's for a studio that never existed because I'm
like, might as well. Yeah. It's one of those Sony studios that just like just oh. to exist suddenly a couple years ago.
One that probably made as much money as like their re-release of Morbius did.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even less. And it just sunk into the ground, but the movie was made. It existed, and Netflix bought it and put it out like 5 years later. So it's like the second Flanagan movie, but if you look on like actual release date, it looks like it's much later. That's from 2016. So Before I Wake, very, very okay. good movie. It's got a good twist to it. And then as I said, I was sort of learning who he was, and I was actually going back through his other stuff. And I think that was the year when I first watched Absentia.
I saw that.
I saw that many, many years ago.
It's a first movie, and it's very clearly a first movie. Mm-hmm. It has like, we can't really afford proper cameras or actors.
It definitely feels like camcorders a lot of the time. And yeah, that's, mm-hmm. isn't his now wife, Katie Siegel, in that when she was much younger?
No, she isn't. But, there's another actress.
Who is that?
There's another actress. So she's been in every one of his other movies. Her name is Katie Parker. And when you look at her, you're going to be like, oh, it's that woman. She's one of the True Knot. She's in Hill House, Bly Manor, and I want to say she was in Midnight Mass. I don't remember who she was in Mass. She's not in Hush, I don't think. Trying to think who she. What other ones? I believe
she's in the Midnight Club too.
Yeah, she's been in just about all of them, I think, in some okay. form or another.
For some reason, I always thought that was his wife when she was younger.
No, but she's the ghost that tricks the mom in Hill House.
What the fuck is her name?
Dottie Parker or whatever, the like flapper girl.
She's got a really weird name.
That's her.
Poppy.
Yeah, but yes, Poppy. That's right, Poppy. But yeah, her, and like I said, one of the True Knot. She's the one who is, I think, with Mike's brother, who's in the movie, is one of the True Knot. He's the guy in the True Knot with the glasses. Who also, if you know what Flanagan looks like, he looks like slightly thinner Flanagan.
I'm looking at him right now. Regardless, yeah, Absentia is it's got something. It's just not the best something, but it's definitely worth checking out just to see an early Flanagan film. Yeah. I mean, like you said, Connor, I definitely watched it once many, many, many years ago.
I watched it and don't remember much about it. Things that were coming out, and I was discovering the time, so I was like, yeah, there we go, and then just forgot everything about it.
Good.
Yeah. I was going to say, the thing that's interesting about it to me is early Flanagan, you can see he doesn't have a thing yet. He doesn't have like a trope that he goes back to. Like, if you're looking at his movies now, zoomed out, it looks like he mainly makes ghost movies. And occasionally he does a serial killer or monster movie. So it's interesting to go back and see an early him where that isn't set yet. Like, what his thing is isn't there yet. So that movie is interesting for those reasons. That it's like, it's kind of more sci-fi, the actual concept of that movie.
Kind of. I mean, it's, you know, it's that weird borderline, like, of there's some sort of dark alternate universe, and you don't know if it's, or it's just a dark portal, and you don't know if it's sci-fi or paranormal. Right. So, yeah, it can go either direction.
Yeah, it's like a thin place.
Yeah.
It's also very, very Stephen King.
Well, that was going to be my next point, is why has he not been selected to direct the Dark Tower series?
Like,
just let cowards. Him do it.
They're all cowards. Everybody involved is cowards. And also, here's the logic I've come to, is that the moment that somebody says, I want to do the Dark Tower, and I want to bring in as much other Stephen King stuff as I possibly can, another studio is going to say, fuck you, and they're going to buy arbitrarily, this is a bad example, I'm going to buy the rights to Salem's Lot so that you can't use Father name I'm forgetting.
Callahan. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, the way it works with Stephen King's, like, adaptations, if you get the rights to them, like, you have a very short amount of time to get it done.
Yes.
Because I was listening to a podcast talking about Frank Darabont, and it was, I think it was for The Mist, they were talking about that, and it was saying, like, how, like, yeah, you know, he was told, like, you've only got this much time, and if you don't finish it, it's mine again. Which I think that's completely fine, and I think that's the best way he should handle his things, because I know he'll normally, like, do the, what, dollar baby thing, where he, like, sells the rights to his movies for a dollar to promising young filmmakers.
Short films and stuff like that. Yeah. And I mean, that's where Darabont started, with a dollar baby for, like, a short story. He's very into, like, paying it forward with younger people who are in the same position he was in 50 years ago.
Except they don't look quite as much like meth addicts as he did back then.
They don't look like they've been up all night drinking Coca-Cola and smoking cigarettes.
And they're actually smoking cough medicine because they're heating it up in a pan to make it into a solid so they could get the medicine out of it.
But no, like, he's very good about that stuff, and I agree with the whole, like, taking it away from studios, you know, as soon as possible, and it makes sense that he would do that, because there have been so many people that have been screwed over by deals that are other than that. In publishing, you can make those deals and you can be pretty solid in them. That's why a lot of people a couple years ago were advised not to send scripts to studios. They were advised to turn them into other things first. That's why there are a lot of comic books out there that exist in, like, very limited runs so that they can just show the comic books to film studios. And say, well, I already own this thing. I already made it. So I have more control over it if you decide to adapt it. And I can just go wherever I want. So I don't have to wait 30 years for Predator 5 to come out and bomb to sue you for the rights to Predator.
That's actually, yeah, bring up Predator. That has either of you heard anything about a sequel to Prey going forward, or movement on that at all? I mean, I imagine they would have to be thinking about that.
Nothing. I haven't heard anything. If we're going to hear about it, it's going to be February, January. It's going to be after Iger has had time
to
fully reassert control.
Speaking of that, God, I don't know why we didn't start talking about that. Yeah, so old Bob is out, or new Bob is out, old Bob is back.
The king has retired.
I don't know about you guys, but that news hit me out of left field.
I think it hit everybody
out of left field. That was
that
was shocking. I could not believe that they, well, I mean, I think they've been losing faith in Chapek for a while, but, like, I still can't believe they're like, nah, you're done.
I can't believe they just, like, like a public humiliation too. Like, it was like big fucking announcement that came out of nowhere. Like, just they just kind of ruined the guy.
Well, and I was expecting it to be like, when I first heard about it, to be like, oh, Chapek will be taking a reduced role and blah blah, but no, dude's fired. He's gone.
No, it was like, I made a lot of comparisons to like medieval history and stuff, but it was that level of like, fuck you, you're out of here, you're gone. You know, if this was a European country in the 1800s, his head would have been cut off, I feel like.
Well, I had read an article that apparently the person that he'd put in charge of like all of the entertainment division, somebody who was like his scion or whatever you want to call it, for lack of a better term, he had no experience with any of that.
Oh God!
And had a lot to do with why things were going the way they were going. And apparently, because of that guy's fuck ups, a lot of times, Bob was willing to try and make somebody else into the fall guy, and I think it was somebody who was like really well liked on the board.
What an idiot.
If the report I was reading was correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a big stupid guy. Like, what are you thinking, Bob?
It's well, and you know, it's the thing I was saying in one of the chats, you know, a hammer is a hammer, you know, and he was a hammer. He was the guy who you sent in to like fire other people to like do your dirty work, to like, you know, look through people's stuff, find like weird dirt on people to get them out, you know, figure out who was involved with a project that you don't like so that you can fire them and things like that. And that's,
I get
that's
that.
What his job was.
You keep him on a leash. You don't make him the CEO of like the one of the largest entertainment industries in the world. Like that's what's that? What was that, Cutter? No, exactly. But I can't. It feels weird to be like, man, I'm really happy this CEO who doesn't give a shit about me is back, but I kind of am.
It's the other thing I've been saying. It's like, this is my favorite Breaking Bad. This is my favorite Sopranos, but it's real life. You know, he's absolutely my favorite of those types of characters, where it's like, I'm rooting for you, but I feel bad.
Despite the fact that you're likely contrary to evil.
Yes.
Right. Yes. You are you most likely would sell me for salt. if it came to that. But I like your moxie.
Really put curious. On Disney Plus, and it's like, all right, yep.
Go ahead, Arlen. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's more like, when you look at the history of this guy, it's hard not to root for him in the way that, like, it's hard not to root for Genghis Khan as somebody who's not living in the 12th century. And it's like, I don't have to deal with the sacking of Iraq personally. So I'm like, oh, isn't this so cool? He like built this entire army or whatever. You know,
you're appreciating the work that he did. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of wondering how much Bob came back. I mean, obviously, it's because Disney losing like 40% of its stock value.
Yes. But
also because like Disney Plus seems to be kind of on shaky ground recently from what I've read. And I feel like Bob's like, no, I need to come back to save my baby.
Yeah. Well, from the sound of it, you know, and again, I made this joke that they like held him at gunpoint, but it did feel like that. It felt like, no, Bob, you're coming back now. We don't have time to
lock the doors. You're not leaving anybody else.
Well, that's the other funny thing that rumored, you know, obviously lots of hearsay going around, but there was an article I'd seen that the one quote was that like Iger has just been basically talking shit about every decision that Bob Chapek made while he tries to fix all this.
What a G.
Well, yeah, and before that, even like while he was still, you know, I guess while he was doing his book tour and things like that, while he was enjoying retirement life, he was talking shit on Chapek the whole time. Which, I mean, we've been talking shit on Chapek.
Well, but we're not the ones who hired him, so it doesn't make a difference. Iger,
like, in his house, like, saying, what are they gonna do after they come back? That'll never happen.
And that's,
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, I was gonna, but again, you know, I do wonder. I really do wonder how much of this was the plan.
Yeah, I know we discussed something like this, but I don't know. I feel like Iger was done, and Disney was just like, please, please, we need you.
Absolutely. No, before he retired, I feel like... No, I know that there were stories about this where they were like, we will pay you to stay for like 10 years. We will pay you to stick around for the next 10 years. We will pay you until you die. Just go. And I can understand it from their perspective, but as I've, talked about before, I don't feel like there was anywhere else to go. Like, how do you get bigger? And that's why, Chapek, he could only go downhill. Even if he had done everything perfectly, I don't think there was ever a possibility of him truly succeeding. He was always kind of set up to fail, which is why the conspiracy theory part of my brain activates. Like, but how much could he have actually done? How much better could he have actually...
He could have not made the company's stock fall 40%. That's a big one. Yeah.
There are moves he could have made. But, another thing I said, who could have actually truly predicted where things would go with the Republicans, which was a big part of all that stuff?
I think it's more the bad taste he left in people's mouths with everything that happened with Scarlett Johansson, and also with the way they handled the Don't Say Gay bill.
Well, yeah, but that's part of the same issue. I think it's all together. It's all combined. Like, he couldn't have predicted some of these things, and he could have handled some of it better. But I just don't. I don't think that there was. Again, I think he was set up to fail, like I said. I think it's really like, what could you actually have done better with some of the stuff? With the Scarlett Johansson stuff, that was just pure, like, don't do that. Don't release the movie. Just wait till theaters come in or pay her money ahead of time so that she doesn't have to sue, so that she doesn't have to make an example out of you, which is what she was doing. Man. She was making an example out of them. And like I said at the time, good on her, as she should. People should do that more. Actors should sue their bosses more because it will ultimately benefit all actors if you do that. So, yeah.
Well, something completely different than any of that. Well, kind of related to Disney. We've all watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. Oh, you haven't? No, I thought you did.
I got home from work and basically just like unwound for a bit.
Zon. Gotcha. I wasn't sure then. Well, you should definitely get on that. It's quite good.
It's very fun. It's very disposable, but like it's worth it.
I thought it was super cute. I thought it was super cute. I'm not as cynical as you are at this point, Arlie.
I'm not saying that it was bad. I'm just saying, like, if you don't watch it, your life isn't going to be any worse.
Well, then fine. Going on that, no movie can make your life any better or worse.
I'm just saying it's a nice 45. It's a pleasant 45 minutes. It's there and then it's done. It doesn't waste any time. At all. It's just like in and out and we're done.
It would be
perfect amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like Werewolf by Night. They got the exact amount of time right for the ability to tell a story, but not be like a half hour episode.
Because every time I see the teaser,
I think it's CGI. I'm pretty sure it's CGI.
John sent me an article about how it's all CGI. It still looks very creepy to me. He still looks like he's walking weird, around Disney but, park. Yeah.
Well, he's a brute Groot. He's a big guy.
Yeah. His official name is Swole Groot.
Get them gains. But yeah, I'm kind of shocked at how well Disney has nailed like the sitcom or like television length show, and it feels as fulfilling as any other Disney like movie or product, basically. Because Werewolf by Night felt like it was so good for 45 minutes and it hit all the things I wanted it to hit, and I feel like all of She-Hulk has been like that. Like, their more recent output has been really impressive because it seems to be going outside of their normal boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. and it makes you know, comments about how they're just doing the same thing incredibly befuddling to me. It's just over and over again, the same reviews. Marvel does the same thing they've always done, and now Marvel's losing its way. The MCU is going to fail. It's crashing and burning as we speak.
Well, yeah, but according to that fake tweet, Dwayne Johnson is happy how well Black Adam did, because it's like they're on an A24 level.
I heard it was a parody account or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's a parody account, but it was too good not to share. But yeah, he did recently, like, I think he went after an IGN writer or a tweet they had put up talking about, like, how much Wakanda Forever had made in comparison to Black Adam. And, like, and The Rock actually, like, went at him a bit on Twitter, which is kind of weird to me.
The more I learn about The Rock's involvement with Black Adam, the more I'm like, oh no. Because... apparently, he also
disapproves
of Shazam and doesn't want anything to do with it. I'm like, yeah, but
the other side of that. You can't have one without.
Well, okay. So, the explanation I heard for this, and I think I told this, or we talked about this about a month ago in the chats, is that from his perspective, him fighting Shazam is going down. Or it's going under, I guess, in wrestling terms.
What do you mean? Just say it. I don't understand wrestling terms.
But no, it's like for him, if he's not fighting the big guy, it doesn't matter. It's small potato. So if he's not fighting Superman, who cares from his perspective? That's the way somebody explained it on a podcast I was listening to, and it made sense to me. That would be his attitude. But Connor, as the wrestling guy here, and we don't have to go into a whole deep diatribe on this, but does that sound plausible to you? That's why he wouldn't want to fight Shazam? Is that he's looking at it from a wrestling point of view? Because that makes sense to me.
No, I'm not doing that guy. He's mid-card. Main event, right. Stone Cold.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Eric, I completely understand your perspective. It's like, no, but you're a Shazam villain, so you're gonna fight Shazam at some point. You should fight Shazam.
I think that's ridiculous. That's the whole thing with him being like, no, Shazam, we're not gonna fight him. Like, you're playing somebody who's a genocidal maniac, essentially. In the comics, like, maybe you should step back a little bit from trying to hype this guy up so much, because I don't know how well this is going to go for DC if they keep trying this.
Well, there are a lot of things going on here. So Black Adam is this is the most me sentence I could ever say. It is the master and commander far side of the world of DC, because that movie, like Black Adam, took like 20 years to make, I think. Or Black Adam's like closer to 15 or something like that, because they initially announced it, I think, in 2009, I want to say, or 2007, one of those two. They announced that.
It would be 2007. It would be 2024 if it was 2009. Anyways.
Well, regardless, he's been working on this for a long time. I can't imagine that the script that they first came up with in the late 2000s or the late aughts is anything close to what they released now in the 20s. That's a weird sentence. But yeah, I can't imagine it's anything close. But when you've been working on something for that long, your worldview is going to be like weird and shifted. And so many things have changed in that amount of time. children have grown and are attending high school in that amount of time.
Because I feel like it was fucking like over a decade ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's in another decade entirely. There's an entire decade in between that is its own decade and then the other decade. It's like, well, George Bush was still president, if my memory is correct, on this, when it was actually announced.
Because I was at Comic-Con in 2007, and they were showing the Iron Man trailer.
This might have been before then.
No, The Rock wasn't that big at that point.
Well, let me see.
Connor, was Black Adam, was any of it entertaining other than Dr. Fate?
Hawkman, I'm seeing November 2007. Awesome. That's the one really good thing to say, but Hawkman is fucking cool shit.
Okay, so slash film, Ryan Scott. Isn't Comedy Button Ryan Scott?
Maybe.
Oh, shit. No, it's a different Ryan Scott. This guy's got his... he's got a style. No, I'm seeing 2007. So 2007, John August began scripting a Captain Marvel, which turned into... To Shazam, and The Rock announced that he was playing Black Adam in Shazam. That's how long this has been going on. So,
because I'm seeing 2014 was when he was attached.
I mean, yeah, but Slash Film is saying that they had an article running in 2007. So
that's fucking insane.
Is it a case where your phone isn't showing the right date again?
I will fucking kill you. IGN intentionally changed the date of the video. You son of a bitch. They do this all the time. To get more people to click on the video. Okay.
I don't know if I believe that, but okay.
That's absolutely a thing that happens. Okay, it's no different from Howard Stern reposting videos from interviews he did 5 years ago. It's to get more people, because people will click. People will see in their search results things from a couple years ago, not realize that it's old until they click on it. And on a phone, the YouTube app doesn't always show the most updated date that people have changed it to. I've experienced this through our own videos. When I've changed the date of release on something that I uploaded at a different date, it doesn't change it on the mobile devices. It shows you the original date. So on my phone, I was seeing that the video was originally uploaded 4 years ago. so yeah, that's how that works. Anyway,
gotta be honest with you, I kind of glazed over there for a minute.
Yeah, me a little bit too.
Yes, you did this. You unlocked this. You made this come to being, Eric.
Oh, and I'm looking at the article from Gizmodo that's talking about the timeline of Shazam and Black Adam, and it's saying nothing was set in stone, though. It was just talk.
Yes, it was,
and
it
then
was talk,
and then but, 2014 is when it was actually implemented. So
this maybe... Eric, I said that, and also this Slash Film article is very much like, we're so great, we're Slash Film, even though, as you know, nobody on the current Slash Film has anything to do with old Slash Film.
Isn't David Chen still there?
Yeah, but that doesn't change anything.
I wasn't sure. He's the only one that I actually cared about, so.
Let's see.
I was going to add that, like, the,
but yeah, no, he's
the
been...
action is good in Black Adam. Dr. Fate is cool. The visual effects are... fucking good. Then like it all has to come together and actually like be a movie, and it is aggressively unoriginal. It feels really old, and it's just, there's a lot of bad lines in the script. Like, I think the word hero is said 40 times within like an hour.
Yeah,
and they lean really heavily into he's like heroes don't kill. Well, I do. I'm like, you have said a variation of that phrase at least 3 times, and you guys keep going back to that well.
Yeah.
And if in case you forget, here's the Rock incinerating a guy just to drive the point home.
Yeah.
It's a very dumb movie.
I think that's the thing that, like, bothers me the most, is just the trying to give him a face turn and it just it doesn't work for me. Like, Black Adam works better as a villain, and mm-hmm. I think that would have been really brave of DC and of Dwayne to be like, no, fuck it, I'm gonna play the villain. Let's do a villain origin story. Like, that would have been a great twist at the end. Like, he ends up becoming the big bad.
Didn't they tease that he, like, actually isn't all that good, but then they kind of just renege on it? Like,
well, I mean, they take a lot of half steps, yes. to your point, Connor. There are small tweaks that you can do to make it all work. You know, it's my point about wasting the good, the bad, and the ugly setup. A movie that uses that setup well, that makes good on that seed, has themes that can support that, and themes that are well seeded or well placed throughout the film. The movie doesn't do that. It goes back and forth every few minutes, and it doesn't decide anything until Pierce Brosnan is telling you, this is what the movie's been about the entire time. Don't you believe me? It's always been a hero story for you, Black Adam. And it's just putting too much pressure on Pierce Brosnan.
Brosnan.
What the fuck happened there? it's putting so much pressure on him, a man who I love deeply. and it's just like, none of this works. You haven't done none of the work that would be needed to make it work, to make it feel natural, is done in the movie. But at the same time, I soft agree with a lot of what Connor says about parts of the movie being impressive, parts of the movie being entertaining on like a technical level. It's like, oh, that's very good. You did really good there. Yeah,
like
there.
The painted like, black sequence. You know, the first display of his powers. He just floats through a whole army and just effortlessly roasts every single person there. But it's all in slow motion, and painted black is playing over it. It's fucking awesome looking. But then, like 5 minutes later, you have to wait for something about Paddington? Really fucking dumb. To
Yes, we're talking about the Paddington sequel. Hey, everybody.
Okay, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
No, but to your point, Connor, if the same exact sequence were in a Blur Studios video game trailer from 2013, we would be freaking out over how cool the sequence is. It would be like, oh, this is so good. They get the character so right. The tone of this is so fucking metal. But it's not a Blur Studios trailer from 2013. It's a segment in a movie, and it happens, and it's very fun. And then the rest of the movie happens, and the kid is annoying, the mom isn't much better.
This kid is Hall of Fame, like, please kill the kid kind of kid.
No, it's like throwback levels. It's like 80s annoying kid levels.
Insufferable.
My crazy theory is that I guess the kid then is that weird mannequin that Diana saved in Wonder Woman 2. It was just given sentience. Remember the one part where she's going to save somebody from like a missile strike, and it's like very obviously
iteration. Like, I think she grabs one of the three wise men.
It gains sentience. That's that little boy in that movie.
He just throws himself in a danger.
Because they own it, so they don't have to pay them. By
regular movie standards, like logic, he should just be dead, but he keeps showing up to get in the fucking way.
Mm-hmm. It's so annoying.
Venom's better, because Venom is fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I kind of wanted a Venom because it's John Micolette Serra, who makes a lot of really dumb, fun movies. The Shallows is one of the best shark movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the same guy?
It's not like that's a very...
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. He did the Liam Neeson Commuter trilogy, as I'm calling it. That's the one with the plane, the one with the train, and... You know which ones I'm talking about. Unstopped.
What type of old badass does he play in those movies?
I think he's a marshal in the plane one. In the train one, he's just a dude? Or he's a retired cop? I can't remember. I've seen the plane one and the train one. I couldn't tell you which movie is which, if not for the actors. Scoot McNairy is in the plane one.
You know Scoot. You don't know Scoot?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Scoot.
Everybody loves Scoot.
You got to pay respect to Scoot. And then Vera Farmiga, Conjuring Mommy, is in the train one, I think.
Or the Therapist Bay from The Departed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, he did a lot of those movies, a lot of those Neeson-Sance films. And they're all dumb fun, and he's very good at dumb fun. Even that Jungle Cruise movie, he's responsible for that. And the Metal Gear characters that show up halfway through.
I still haven't seen it, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you should. So Connor, there's a man who's made out of snakes.
I'm sold.
There's a man who's made out of bees. and Eric, I think you've seen this movie. I think there's a guy made out of smoke, I want to say. I can't remember. And then, do you want to know the spoiler for Jungle Cruise? Like the big,
yeah, who cares?
The big twist for Jungle Cruise? The Rock is an immortal.
Right.
He's an immortal conquistador.
It's kind of the big twist from Pirates of the Caribbean. Like yeah, that's no, not at all.
Oh, it's not at all. That's not real.
No, it actually is a fun movie though. Like I'm telling you, like I went. What's that?
You in on it too? You guys reminded me.
Sorry, man.
It's a lot of that movie. It can't be.
Listen, you can go tell all your Q friends that this movie doesn't exist and it's a Joe Biden fucking plot. Actually, no, he's not Joe Biden. He's Trump wearing a Biden mask. I forgot. But yeah, you can go tell all your friends about that, and then you can go bang a bunch of horse paste down your throats.
I can't process that he's an immortal conquistador.
Yep.
Well, he is, and it's very funny when you see him in the conquistador outfits and he doesn't fit into any of them.
Emily Blunt just a regular white woman, and she's like, oh,
of course, yeah, she is.
No, she's Rachel, not Rachel McAdams.
She's Rachel Lee Cook's character. Rachel Weisz. Love me.
No,
Rachel Weisz.
She's Rachel Weisz's character. Like it's the same character. It's a copy and paste job.
Yeah, she's just a different flavor of British.
Well, and she even has a Jonathan. She has a prissy British older brother who's like
scared.
He takes like 19 suitcases with him everywhere.
He's a fop. He's a dandy fop. I think would be the better way to put it. Yeah, but no, it's a fun movie. I was shocked. Like, I mean, it might have also been the COVID of it all because that's when it came out, and my wife and I watched it. It was just like something new. Okay, must consume. Like, we can't leave the house. We have to enjoy whatever we can watch. This is a lot of fun. And like,
learn the slurp, slurp, slurp.
There was
movies that I saw the trailers and like the promo stuff, and I was like, oh, that might be like a dumb fun movie, but I'm not gonna watch it.
No, you should watch it for the Metal Gear of it, because like when I was watching it, I said that to my wife. She's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, these are Metal Gear bosses.
Wait, you talking about Black Adam or fucking Jungle Cruise?
Jungle Cruise.
Same director though. Same director, which is why going into Black Adam, I wasn't like, this is going to be the worst movie ever made. This will be terrible. I'm going to hate this. I went in like, there's a chance I'm going to like this movie. There's a possibility that this won't be a huge piece of shit or that this won't be boring. I found it boring. Like, I'm going to be fair here. 75% of it I found to be boring.
Doing its hardest to engage you, like it's really fucking forgettable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And this you know, as I've said in past recordings and on the chats, like when the fucking like devil shows up and he's all ripped.
I'm not sure which movie you're talking
about. Black Adam now. But okay. Because the movie needs to have a villain,
Satan shows up.
There's a guy.
Yeah,
Sebek. And he's fucking devil man. He's got a fucking big pentagram on his chest. It's fucking metal as shit.
If you're a DC character, you gotta have a logo on your fucking chest, okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly, but this one's a fucking pentagram, and it's a big pentagram. Like, in the comics, it looks like the pentagram's more like, you know, Superman S size. No, his chest becomes the pentagram. It's shaped like a pentagram, and it's fucking metal as shit. I was so in on the design. I was like, where's this guy been? Why couldn't we have gotten this guy like an hour earlier into the movie?
Because it wasn't time for The Rock to rip him in half yet, which is what
happens to him. It wasn't time. If there was 30 more minutes of him just like exploding people and just like doing horrible, like, you know, slasher movie deaths to people, I think the movie would be 50% better, at least. Maybe. I don't know.
Can I ask you a few questions?
Sure. Yeah.
So I haven't seen Black Adam. I've seen the trailers and all that, but I haven't seen like any clips really. Is The Rock doing an accent? He's just
Dwayne.
There are flashback scenes where he is doing a voice. I wouldn't say he's doing an accent. It's not Scorpion King levels. That would be hilarious though. If it was,
does he only speak English? King.
He mainly speaks English. I think they have him speaking. I don't know if they used a real.
I don't know if it's like real
language or not, because they gave.
Oh God.
They gave Khandaq like a knockoff of Arabic. It's like a, or maybe it's a real language, and Arabic? I just don't know that it's a real language. But you look. Yes.
I could be a writer. Come on.
I just like the idea of Dwayne being his Rock persona when he's supposed to be back in the ancient times before he became Black Adam.
It doesn't matter
what that is his idea of what people sound like.
I thought The Rock would be like, I'm going to play this fucking like established comic character and just like, well, I'm just going to be me though.
Exactly.
My choice.
Well, and that's what people want though. When you see The Rock is in a movie, they just want The Rock playing a character.
I feel like, you know, the movie could be dumb fun, whatever, and like he's probably fine or maybe not. I don't know, but like it's like I accept that these comic book movies are not going to be always super accurate to the comics, but it's just when you see Black Adam in like the video games and shit. And then, like, The Rock, it's like, oh, that's not the same guy.
He's not exactly villainous, like, in most of his appearances. Didn't he, like, flood a whole city or something like that?
Well, the thing is, he's villainous, but sometimes he's, like, anti-hero, and he's still, like, you know, he cares about his city or whatever, but he's, like...
But even then, like, when he's an anti-hero, he's only working for his better good. Like, he's like, all right, you know, working with these people will be better for Kandak.
He can be on the side of good, but he still has, like, strong convictions of, like, kill your fucking enemy, or, like, I mean, any means necessary to protect my city, like, you know what I mean, stuff like that, but...
Well, and, you know, again, the movie has hints of ways to do some of this stuff. Like, there's a suggestion that his ethics are not modern ethics, they're the ethics of a person from another time. And that could be interesting if they wanted to utilize that in an interesting way.
Who speaks with a perfect American accent?
Well, no, you know, it's, you know, to use a much better movie as an example, he has very similar ethics to the main character in The Northman, Amleth. It's that kind of thing. And if they played into that, if they played into the fact that he has like a different worldview, that yes, it makes him villainous by our standards, but from his point of view, he's doing what a person from his time period would do. He's treating the situation the way that they would. And that is a compelling thing to do. That's a compelling idea to explore.
I don't see them doing that. And I don't see The Rock wanting to do that. Like I said, the only thing that I would bring me into these movies is if they decide to make a huge turn at the end of one of the movies and The Rock goes full villain, and then I would be sold.
Well, or, you know, again, you know, the hints of, like, other morality. Like, if he went full, like, Conan the Barbarian with it, or it's like, I rule by my might or whatever, or something like that. Like, from, again, from
his point of view. I have to go have sex with a demon witch.
Right. I mean, if he said that in the movie, I'd be like, fuck yes. Hell yeah. Do it.
No, he says, go telling the man in black saying you. I'm with you. In the cowboy movie, and then he immediately adopts that into his personality.
Oh, gosh.
So,
all right, guys. Well, I'm starting to spit fumes.
Really? Okay.
I gotta be up at 4 tomorrow.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Godspeed.
Yeah, well, I've been up since 5:30. So yeah.
Okay. Do we want to call it then, or okay?
Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Yeah.
But okay. Guess what? We have The Rock here to send us off.
it doesn't matter. If I were good at my job, I would cut him into the episode. No,
it's just like, yeah, whatever fucking podcast this is, I'm on Cameo, and this is a thing that I've been paid to say.
Also, before we go, I'd like to remind all 1.5 of our listeners that Jason Momoa and Lenny Kravitz are probably Eiffel Towering.
Eric decided to put this into our minds last week, and
I mean, it's like a wholesome
movie. It would be the most wholesome threesome that ever existed, but yeah,
too positive, just like high-fiving, like, oh, you first, bro. No, you first,
you
bro.
You know their palms have met atop the back of Lisa Bonet.
I fucking hate that so much. And Mickey Rourke is just there, just watching.
Just watching there. Her, making sure she doesn't ruin her career again.
Right. Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, he's proud of his daughter.
Yo.
Anyways,
I did already. Right. Yeah, that was like a fucking hour ago. All right.
What?
Compelling.
I have no idea what's happening.
I'm very confused right now.
He's talking to his roommate.
Okay. Yeah, I figured, but I was like,
yeah.
I still have no plugs.
That's fine. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, no plugs for you. My other show is gonna start recording yet again, since other Eric has returned from trips to the land of green and Guinness. So look forward to new episodes of that. And yeah, that's it for me.
Been Eric Fedorchak. You can find me at Eric_Fedor on Instagram. Picture dogs, food, cats, comics. I don't really have much else. I don't know. Just fucking relax, people. Like, it's the winter. Your circadian rhythm is telling you to go to sleep more, so listen to it. Like, just why can't the world just not work for like 3 months a year? Wouldn't that be great?
God, it would.
Wouldn't that be great? We can all just sleep.
No, but Eric, capitalism.
Fuck that Henry Ford idea. Yeah,
I mean, that man was a Nazi anyway, so I have to.
Exactly. Well, he helped create the Nazis, actually. So yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Funded them from the very beginning. Nobody's doing that now, though. Mm-mm. No one. That's not happening right now as we speak. Bye.
See you, everybody.